Get the whole band together with Workday and pair finance and HR on one platform for an epic performance. With Workday AI at the core, you'll make confident decisions faster than ever, and you'll drive flawless business and finance operations with an agile platform that constantly evolves to future-proof your organization. Be a finance and HR rockstar with Workday. Visit workday.com to learn more.
Good morning. It's time to get up with the Cowboys. Zeke Elliott reporting to camp, motivated to prove that this is the Cowboys' year. And we're going live to Pittsburgh with the latest on Big Ben's health and why it could spell big things in the Steel City. Plus, they're celebrating on the streets of Milwaukee, that's for sure. But are fans heading for a big loss as Aaron Rodgers plays with their emotions? That and more as we get up right now. And thank you so much for joining us today. So happy to see you. I'm Ryan Smith in for Greeny. Got a jam-packed show for you today. A lot of football to get to. And look who's here to talk about it. Jeremy Fowler, Rob Ninkovich here. Ryan Clark's going to be on his way in just a little bit. So let's get started and get right to it in Big D with the Cowboys, because it is official. Day one of the Cowboys training camp is in the books. Quarterback Dak Prescott was on the field taking reps, looking to battle back from injury last season. Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy weighed in on his quarterback.
He looks great. He was just out here in the walk through, and he's got a lot of bounce. And I just want to see him get through every practice, and hopefully, just knock the rust off. Get through the pain free moments. And I think that everybody goes through when you're coming back of a big injury, a joint injury. And I do think he's past that, but, he has to go through this just like everybody else. I think Dak will be fine.
All right, good news for Dallas fans there. Jeremy Nink coming back in. Jeremy, I'll start with you. What's the latest you're hearing about Dak's health?
Well, Ryan, Dak Prescott has already cleared a major hurdle, I'm told, because there was a play in practice yesterday, first day of camp. Prescott rolls to his left, even without a pass rush. He didn't even need to. Rolls to his left, throws a dime 30 yards downfield on the move. I'm told he had been working on that very play, because rolling to your left is a hurdle when you're coming off a major foot ankle injury like he is. He wanted to show that he is just fine. There's no mental blocks there. He can do just about everything. So the next step for the Cowboys is they're going to put him in some 11-man work, maybe have a little more congestion around the pocket, around his feet, but they do not anticipate any problems with their franchise quarterback.
Okay, good news there for Dallas. And Nink, what do you think a successful season looks like in Dallas? And you talked it this morning in our meeting about how you've spoken to some Cowboy fans on this. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say that I am a diehard Cowboys fan, except my buddy Todd Cowan is a diehard Cowboys fan, and he has a newborn baby, so guess what? I knew he'd be up super early, and I shot him a text message, and I said, hey, Todd, what do you think the expectations are for a successful season this year in Dallas? And I'll actually just read you the text message, because he said every year Super Bowl or bust in Dallas, okay? But he would say an NFC championship game would be considered a successful season. I personally thought that just winning the division would be successful, but he goes on to add, just winning the worst division in football, who cares? Win when it matters. So that is directly from one of my best friends, Todd Cowan, who is a super Dallas Cowboys fan. You go in his basement. I think he might have broke a few TVs down there in the past. We can't mention the Tony Romo field goal botched snap. You can't mention that or he loses it. So I think that coming from the fans of Dallas, getting to a Super Bowl or bust, but if they can't get to the Super Bowl, it's got to be an NFC Championship. And that's coming directly from my buddy, Todd.
Okay, if you can't get to the Super Bowl, it's got to be an NFC Championship. Ryan Clark now joining us. So, Ryan Clark, what is a successful year in Dallas? Can they get to an NFC Championship and make that fan happy?
Ryan, do you have to call me by my whole name so people don't confuse me with you? Or just
yes,
so you don't confuse me
with you? Because we're two Ryans.
Okay. Hey, listen, I'm just asking, man. RC works as well. Hey, look, when you think about the Dallas Cowboys, right, and you think about what they've been for the last quarter century, you listen to Neek's buddies, Todd. Todd's feeling like every Cowboys fan has felt for the last 25 years, that it's Super Bowl or bust, that they have to win in the playoffs. And I'm going to tell you this. This is how I feel. If they don't win the NFC East, if they don't win a playoff game, Dan Quinn will be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. This will be Mike McCarthy's last year. Everything you hear out of that is out of Dallas is the way Dan Quinn is moving this team, the way Dan Quinn is leading this team, the defense and the different changes that they've made. When they went into the offseason, they didn't just go in and say, let's be Seattle or let's be Atlanta. They said, we're going to get all of these great coaches together and we're going to build a defense. We're going to build a book that allows us to stop people. They watched that film last year. It was historically awful in Dallas. That has to get better. But when Mike McCarthy gets rid of Mike Nolan, he says to the world that I was not the problem, right? We thought he was the problem in Green Bay. This is the reason you can't win with Aaron Rodgers. Now we give you the Dallas Cowboys. You said Mike Nolan was the issue. You have a defense now. If they don't win the East, if they don't win playoff games in advance, Mike McCarthy is out and Dan Quinn will be the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow, imagine that. And you know what? It's life in the NFL, right, RC? Always looking over your shoulder, whether you're a coach or a player. Doesn't matter. All right, let's turn now to the Pittsburgh Steelers because they were camping as well, and they're the other team to complete their first day of training camp led by Ben Roethlisberger. The Steelers look to build off that early hot start from last season. So let's bring in Steelers reporter Brooke Pryor. She's getting up with us. And Brooke, you know, it's interesting. Wednesday, Ben wore a shirt that said different to training camp. What more can you tell us from opening day in terms of Big Ben?
Well, Ryan, Ben told me that he is indeed feeling different going into this training camp, and that's because he's been pretty picky about his off-season throwing partner.
Yeah, my arm feels a lot fresher, if you will, just because this time last year I had thrown thousands of footballs trying to get ready for this. And this year, today was the first day I've thrown a ball to training camp. I've been throwing to my son in the backyard. So it feels more normal of an offseason, if you will. So my arm feels really, really good.
And last week, Bill Cowher said, knowing you, maybe you're filing away some of the things that were being said about you nationally. Do you use that as motivation here?
Are things being said nationally about me?
A little bit here.
Oh, okay. What's new?
Yeah, it's interesting.
And Ben Roethlisberger is also trying to get used to having this new offensive line in front of him. And this is a one day at a time thing with Ben Roethlisberger getting used to having Kendrick Green in front of him. And look, it's going to be a tough thing to replace Maurkice Pouncey, the longtime center that he'd worked with for years. But he said he sees some things in Pouncey or in Kendrick Green that he saw in Pouncey. And that's a good start. He said Kendrick Green made all the right calls yesterday. They didn't fumble the snap. And as we talked to Mike Tomlin, he said, look, let's be honest, the offensive line cannot get any worse than last year when we were last in the league in rushing. So it's all up from here.
Okay, we cannot be any worse. That's an interesting sentiment right there alone. Brooke Pryor, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Let me turn to the guys and bring everybody in. RC, who I'm now calling RC because our viewers now know he's Ryan Clark. What does
exactly,
the offense
bro.
Need to do? For Pittsburgh to be successful, what does this offense need to do for Pittsburgh to be successful?
They have to establish some type of physicality. When you are a Pittsburgh Steeler, when you are part of Steeler Nation, it's about physicality and controlling both lines of scrimmage. The defense has been championship caliber for the last 3 years. Offensively is where they've waned. Offensively is where they've taken a step back. And it's not just about a new center, right? It's about Najee Harris. It's about Matt Canada. Can these people now be a part of this offense, ingratiate themselves in this offense, that if they had played well down the stretch of the last two seasons, they end up in a better place? It's going to be, can Ben Roethlisberger not throw for 33 touchdowns and 10 interceptions again, not push the ball down the field all the time, but in those moments where he needs to be championship level, be championship level. And I believe that Ben can do that, but it takes protection, it takes a run game, and it takes the skilled players around him making plays. All this offense has to do is hold the line and be clutch when they need to be clutch. That's how they won a Super Bowl in 2008 under Mike Tomlin, and that's how they can get back to contending for a Super Bowl in 2021.
Hold the line might be a tough task with four new starters on the offensive line. So, Nink, which side is more important for the Steelers' success? Because Ryan's mentioned and RC's mentioned in this idea of championship caliber defense. Which side is more important, the offense or the defense?
Well, I think we know the defense is going to be great. So I think offensively, they need to figure out the running game. They need to make sure that they're more balanced. Last year, they were the worst in the NFL with running the football. And the last time I checked, when you're one-dimensional, it puts way too much pressure on your quarterback, which having a 38-year-old quarterback last year being hit and not having the best protection isn't a winning formula. So for me, I think it's definitely offensively they have to figure themselves out, have more balance, be more physical. And like RC was saying, when I was playing, I could think back to two teams that it would take about Thursday, Friday for my body to feel back to normal. And that was the Ravens and the Steelers. Those two teams were always physical. So they need to get back to that old school physical mentality, grinding it out, running the football, mix it in the play action pass. We know their defense is going to be great. So they need to figure out on offense and they'll be a competitive football team, guaranteed.
And, Jeremy, that makes me think, when you talk about competitive, that might not be enough for Pittsburgh fans. What's the sentiment around the league on this Steelers team and how far they can go?
Well, Ryan, the league is higher on the Steelers than the media is. The media is bashing them as kind of like maybe an 8-9 team, middle of the pack in the AFC. Well, they say, look, this is, might be the best defensive front in all of football. You have some dogs up there up front. They can win games single-handedly with that defense. Offensive line can't get much worse. They have a bunch of playmakers on that side of the ball. And I spoke to somebody in Pittsburgh who said, look, we know Ben Roethlisberger needs to be a top 10 type quarterback for us to make a playoff run. But that doesn't mean he has to do it all the time. He can do it in spurts. And when you ask scouts and execs that watched him last year, they said there were still glimpses of a few hero top 3 to 5 throws last year.
Okay, so we can still get it done, so say folks around the league. All right, guys, let's talk a little more or less, and I want to start off with Big Ben. RC, more or less than 28 touchdown passes for Ben Roethlisberger. What do you think?
Hey, well, you know what? We're going to go with more, and that's just because I want to go with more. Listen, he threw 33 touchdowns last year, and we saw what this offense did down the stretch of the season, right? We saw the interceptions against Cleveland. We saw the games where they weren't as prolific as they were early on in the season. But this team is going to be a run-first team. Matt Canada does a great job of using play action, of using motion before the snap to allow his quarterback to get a view of what's happening. And I think Big Ben Roethlisberger gets back to the point he got to last year, except for a lot of those touchdowns coming to clutch.
Okay, so Rob, more or less than 32 touchdowns for Dak Prescott.
Hey, you just hit him with a bag of cash, so he's going to have to throw more than 32. So I'm going more, and I say that because we all know that in that quarterback room, especially in Dallas, he's the man, and he's going to have to go out there and play well. And for the Cowboys to win, I think he's going to have to throw a lot of touchdowns. So I'm going with more. I hope that he throws more because I'm a fan. So for me, getting paid, it's his team now. He's got the keys for the next 10 years, so more.
Throw that ball. If he's healthy, how can he not with that offense? RC, let's step it up by a touchdown. More or less than 33 touchdowns for Lamar Jackson.
Listen, we're talking about total, right? We're talking about combined. This is a dude that people are getting mad because he's out at camps having fun backpedaling. It's going to be more. Lamar Jackson is primed for probably his best season of his career. He's about to be a $40 million man, and he's going to make $40 million plays. And so for me and for what I see for Lamar Jackson, I'm looking for an outstanding year where he gets back into the MVP conversation. And the only way he won't win it is if that guy, Patrick Mahomes, turns back to form after being a little upset that he was throwing footballs parallel in the Super Bowl, hitting his teammates in the face.
Not only that, with Lamar, I think we should have made that number 40. That would have been a tougher question. But I even think he's going to eclipse that, too. I mean, he's going to have a great season, it looks like, at least right now. Now, coming up, is it possible, let me ask this, is it possible to disrespect a player while acknowledging he's the greatest of all time? How Tom Brady is finding new ways to remain motivated. Plus, the biggest question in football. Will Aaron Rodgers report to camp next week? One former teammate says he's not playing this season. We're going to get into that and more when we get up right here on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by Geico. Save even more when you bundle home and car insurance. And PlayStation Play has no limits. Take you back to the NFL with a little more or less. Bring our guys back in. And Rob, I'll start with you. More or less than 34 touchdowns for Russell Wilson. We're talking passes.
Come on, Russell Wilson and DK, they're going to throw for like 50 touchdowns. So I'm going more on this one. Russell Wilson's too good. DK Metcalf's too good. The offense is good. A lot of touchdowns.
Everything's good, especially when you talk about Seattle. All right, RC, more or less than 39 touchdowns for Patrick Mahomes.
Listen, I keep waiting for y'all to give me something I can go less on. Are we really going to talk about Patty Mahomes and 39 touchdowns? Is this really what we're doing? Like Lil Wayne said, is that really written down in your notepad, Ryan Smith? Heck yeah, it's going to be more than that. It's what Patrick Mahomes does. And if you think that this dude isn't fired up, that the Kansas City Chiefs aren't fired up, and his skill players aren't ready to get him back to that MVP level, you have to be out of your mind. We get 39, and we still got 4 weeks left to go in the season.
Ooh, I like that prediction. Okay, Rob, more or less than 36 touchdown passes for Tom Brady.
Come on, he's returning every starter. More. Tom is going to be, what, 44, 45? I don't know. It doesn't matter. He's ageless. I think Tom's going to throw for like 45 touchdowns this year. He's going to have a lot more than last year. They had an offseason. They had more regular-type practices to get on page with everybody. So I'm going with more.
Everybody's more today. Everybody's so optimistic. I love it for a Friday. And by the way, let's stay on Tom Brady, who, by the way, as you know, received his seventh Super Bowl ring yesterday. He turns 44 next month. Look at that bling. Looks nice, right? But he remains as motivated as ever. He spoke about what fuels him after all these years and the decision that many teams made to pass on him as a free agent last offseason. Take a listen to this.
There's private things for me that are going to remain, you know, motivational for me. So they know who they are. I mean, they know that the teams
know. You think
know,
they know?
Yeah, the teams know who were probably interested and, yeah, I mean, it's fine. I mean, everyone's got a choice to choose. You know, I think what you realize is that there's not as many smart people as you think. You know, it's just a reality. I think it'd be a no-brainer if you said, you know, hey, you got a chance to get Wayne Gretzky on your team, or you get a chance to have Michael Jordan on your team. Oh, we don't need him. You know, no thanks. We're good. You know, I'm kind of thinking, okay, well, let me go show those teams what they're missing.
See, I find this, let's bring our guys back in. I find this fascinating, guys, because Tom Brady, look, I mean, we all know that the great ones have something to motivate them all the time, but the way he's talking about himself, comparing himself to Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, this is not the kind of Tom Brady we've seen before this. So, Rob, you were his teammate. What do you make of Tom Brady speaking out in this way about his greatness?
Tom's feeling swaggy. He's feeling himself on this one. Come on, you win a Super Bowl. You can say whatever you want. And look, he's always been very humble and never really put himself in that. Well, except for when he did take a picture with a goat a long time ago. But I would say for the most part, he never puts himself in that category. So for me, good for you, Tom. Look, you are the greatest quarterback of all time. We all know that you're one of the best. You're up there with the Gretzkys and the Jordans. Like, so, okay, yeah, put yourself out there and say it. And I personally love it. So the guy's got a lot of swagger this year. He's coming into this season as a 44-year-old quarterback. He don't care. He's going to go out there. He's going to try and light everybody up. He's going to continue to motivate himself. And if it's this, if he has to do it this way, I don't have a problem with that.
All right, let's put up that Tom Brady with the goat picture again. It looks like he's getting ready to farm or something. You see that? RC, what do you make of? Look at that. Ooh, Tom with a goat. RC, what do you make of this outspoken Brady?
First of all, look how much more handsome he is and lean he is now than even at that point. Listen, this is about the progression of greatness, right? Think about the combine, right? We watched four too long Tommy, right, at the combine when he ran and it seemed like it took forever. And then we had Tampa Tom after the Patriots Tom. And now we got Tequila Tom. And Tequila Tom says whatever the hell Tequila Tom wants to say. Listen, this dude is the GOAT. This dude has seven rings and he can say whatever the heck he wants. And as people get older, right, and we saw this with LeBron as he aged through a little bit, and they ask him, why do you think you could come back for 3-1? And he said, because I'm the best blank player in the world. And after a while, these dudes get to a point where being humble doesn't matter anymore. Everybody outside of them knows how they think of themselves. They know the type of confidence that winning and the success that these dudes have had instills in them. Tom Brady's just letting that out. And he is right. If you had a chance to get Gretzky, if you had a chance to get Michael Jordan, you take that chance. And it doesn't matter who's in your building. You know why? Because if you get Tom Brady and Tom Brady fails, you go, you know what? He tricked you just like he tricked all of us because he is the GOAT. Right. And when you get a chance to get the GOAT, you take him. Hell, they let Michael Jordan go play baseball, y'all. We knew Michael Jordan couldn't go play no dang baseball, but he asked to play and they let him because he was Michael Jordan. And so you're not going to let Tom Brady play the position he's played better than anybody in the world for your team, and your team ain't won the championship? No way. Man, please, Tom Brady, talk your stuff.
Tom Brady translation right there. Jeremy, I wanted to bring you in because you had this really good point about how evaluators all around the league looked at him before last season and the Super Bowl winning season with the Bucs. What were they saying about Brady and his condition at that point?
Ryan, they were straight up shocked that this guy's arm strength got better. They thought in 2019 that he was declining to the point where he was done, that they could finally write him off as so many people have wanted to do. But the reason Tom Brady was so bitter over this last year is because he knew he still had heat. I must have heard the phrase, the dude is an anomaly, several times talking to league evaluators when I did a quarterback project. They just don't understand. Pretty much the best deep ball throwing quarterback in Tampa Bay this last year, who was 43 years old.
If there is anybody
me,
who
guys,
deserves...
Guys.
Go ahead.
Guys. So I have my handy dandy iPad out here. I'm going to read to you the wide receivers that Tom Brady was throwing to in 2019. And I want you to tell me if you think you can have arm strength in New England. Number one, Ryan Smith. Number two, Ryan Clark. Number three, Jeremy Fowler. Number four, Rob Ninkovich. That was the level of talent
hands,
that Tom Brady was throwing the football to in 2019. We all know Rob Ninkovich is only catching touchdowns in the red zone, right? That's it. We know that. And this is where we are.
All right, we'll be back with more here on Get Up, including Aaron Rodgers. What will happen in Green Bay? You're watching Get Up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back with you on Get Up, and meanwhile on Planet Earth, the NBA champions celebrated in Milwaukee with a parade through the Cream City. And as it usually tends to be the case at these events, somebody steals the show. And this time, it was PJ Tucker.
When I came here, they're like, yo, you gotta like show, like, you gotta be the dog. And I'm like, we got dogs. Like, they just ain't, like, we. Like, I got here, like, we already got dogs. They just don't know how to be dogs, and we gonna be dogs. And our dogs is crazy. We got dogs, you hear me? Milwaukee, we dogs!
Dogs. Say it again, dogs. And by the way, Check out what Aaron Rodgers had to say on social media after the Bucks won the title. Incredible job by Wes and Mark, and Peter and John Horst. Our GM made some incredible moves, and our stars played like stars. Can't stop 34. Now, yesterday on ESPN's Freddie and Fitzsimmons, Rodgers' former teammate, JerMichael Finley, weighed in on Rodgers' future. Listen to this.
The Rodgers I know and the character I know, I think he's not going to play. He's a very interesting cat. You know what I mean? He's a very hard guy to read, if you want to say.
Yeah, what do you think? He's a hard guy to read. Let's bring our guys in and read them a little bit. Jeremy, what are league sources saying about this Rodgers situation in Green Bay at this point?
Well, Ryan, there are a lot of people around the league who do agree with JerMichael Finley that just believe Aaron Rodgers does not want to be there. And even if he shows up, he ain't going to be happy about it. And he is going to stretch this out, make it quite awkward when he does, whether it's at the beginning of camp, later on, closer to week one. And one source said, I do not think right now the Green Bay Packers can make Aaron Rodgers happy. And that's the biggest problem. Now, they're still not trading Aaron Rodgers. They would have to be absolutely blown away by an offer to even look at it. Right now, and for months, they simply have not been looking. Packers do have a shareholders meeting on Monday. They're a publicly owned company. Things could get mighty interesting. Perhaps Rodgers will wait to reveal his plans until after that meeting.
Oh, how I would love to be in that shareholders meeting. So, RC, which side has the leverage in this scenario if you're looking at Aaron Rodgers versus the Green Bay Packers?
I mean, right now, we're just going to talk about literal leverage. And I hate to come on this show and be literal. I actually just enjoy making up scenarios. But in this scenario, the Green Bay Packers have the leverage because the contract says that right now, Aaron Rodgers can't go anywhere unless the Green Bay Packers move them. And so what they have to play against is Aaron Rodgers' willingness to sit at home and not play. His willingness to know that he was at the top of the game last year, has an opportunity to repeat that performance with many of the same characters, and for him to say, you know what? Nope, I just don't want to do it. And think about relationships, guys. Think about when someone in a relationship is scoring. It's not always that they want to come out and do great. It's that they want to see you do bad. Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to come there and make it awkward for people because you know what? Even if Aaron Rodgers walks around and refuses to talk to GM Brian Gutekunst, it doesn't matter as long as he goes out and play. I will take the silent treatment if you do all the stuff that I want you to do. Aaron Rodgers knows that. So it's only going to be sitting at home that helps him. Now, what you hope is maybe Aaron Rodgers sits at home for 3 weeks, the Green Bay Packers stinks, and he realizes, I can be the savior. Now everybody else knows that everybody in the building but me is wrong. But until that happens, I don't see Aaron Rodgers playing. So Green Bay, you can have all the leverage you want, but leverage means nothing if you ain't winning no football games.
Okay, but still, Rob, Aaron Rodgers has to respond to a fan base that he's also trying to appeal to at the same time. So who do you think is under the most pressure in this situation?
It's got to be the Packers. It's got to be Matt LaFleur, because if Aaron Rodgers is not in that building, well, guess what? Your draft pick that you took to probably maybe upset him a little bit is going to be your starting quarterback. So when you have Aaron Rodgers on your team, it probably just makes things a little bit easier. You come in, you install your offense, you're like, yeah, this is a great play, but we have Aaron Rodgers. It's always going to work. Well, when you have an untested quarterback, a young quarterback, now you have to coach. Now you have to be a great coach. Now you have to make sure that every T is crossed and every I is dotted. So I think Aaron Rodgers, really, honestly, he's like the backside of a pillow. He's just cool and collected, right? He's just, all right, let's see how they do. Let's see how their young quarterback can go out there and can he win football games like we know I can? Can he play at the MVP level? So I think it goes back to Green Bay and the head coach. They're probably a little bit nervous right now if you're asking me on who has the most pressure. It would be them, definitely.
Yeah, I think they're a lot nervous at this point, especially when you got your best player talking about our GM and he's talking about the basketball team's GM. All right. Now let's talk about the top pick from last year. Staying with football, staying with the quarterbacks, staying with Joe Burrow. He got off to a strong start in his rookie season before suffering a torn ACL. Now, with Burrow set to lead Cincinnati this season, one of his Bengals teammates believes he resembles the guy that we were just talking about. You know what I say about Joe Burrow, man? That's like baby Aaron. I've been saying this since I got there. I see a lot of similarities between the two. You talk Houdet Nation, man, they're going to let you know. Joe Burrow is the savior, man. He really is to this organization. He told that to Good Morning Football. So I bring our guys back in because this is really an interesting comparison. You don't make comparisons to Aaron Rodgers lightly. So, Nick, you hear Daniels there. Is baby Aaron Rodgers a fair comparison for Joe Burrow?
I mean, this might be a little bit early. Come on now. Like, Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Fame football player. But we love what we saw before he tore his ACL. I think that he would have had one of the best. He might have been Rookie of the Year. We don't know. I mean, we have no clue on how he would have finished if he never tore his ACL. So I love what he has done so far. He's done a great job up until he had that injury, which you can't control. Some things are out of your control. Now, him bouncing back from the injury, I think sky's the limit, honestly, for where he can be. Now it's up to him to go out there and to go play at a high level again. But, you know, it's a little too early to go out there and start throwing, you know, Aaron Rodgers' name in the mix. But I would say that what we saw before his injury was very impressive.
Okay, RC, baby Aaron, Joe Burrow, what do you think?
Well, here's what I'm going to say. Aaron Rodgers has one of those arms and some of that arm talent that is very, very transcendent, right? It's generational. When we watched Aaron Rodgers throw a football, it didn't look that way again until we saw Patrick Mahomes, and I'm not sure it looked that way before. So let's get that out of the way. I don't think he has that type of arm talent. Here's what I will say. I'm going to put my LSU hat on. Joe Burrow's junior year, when he transferred from Ohio State, I was not a Joe Burrow fan. Here's why. I thought Joe Burrow was supremely confident. I thought Joe Burrow was borderline arrogant. I thought he had a belief in himself that seemed superhuman and out-of-worldly. And at that time, he had thrown 16 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. And to me, a Tiger fan, a Tiger alum, a former Tiger football player, I was like, you can't act like that if you ain't show like that. And then 2019 came, and he threw 60 tubs. And I was like, you know what? That's my teammate. That's my quarterback, right? Because he does have that type of attitude. He does have that type of confidence. He does have that type of command. And I think that's more of what Daniels is speaking to, even beyond the actual arm talent. We know that the things Aaron Rodgers can do from the quarterback position in the pocket, outside of the pocket, are just different. Neek said it. He's a Hall of Famer. We don't know if Joe Burrow reaches that point. But some of the intangibles, some of the things that he has inside, some of the ways he thinks, the ways he feels about himself, his love for the game is on that Hall of Fame level at a very young age. This was a dude that was beyond mature when it came to being a quarterback at LSU, a dude that would sit by himself in the cafeteria because he wanted to study. You can't teach that. You can't teach that level of want to win. And so in that sense, Aaron Rodgers may not even be as special as Joe Burrow is when it comes to some of those things.
Okay. So, Jeremy, like it or not, Joe Burrow was in the same draft class as Justin Herbert. So even though we don't always want to compare the two, we want guys to stand on their own, we can't help ourselves. So what's the league saying about these two second-year quarterbacks?
Well, this is so close because so many teams, myself included, love Joe Burrow's toughness. But Justin Herbert is set up for success. RC mentioned otherworldly arm talent. This guy has that. He's the prototype. He's built like Megatron, 6'6", running around. He's been compared to me as a more accurate Josh Allen, just a little more slender. So they have that in place in Los Angeles for the next 10-plus years. And he's got a better supporting cast. He's got receivers, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, a ton of running backs, a better offensive line. Joe Burrow coming off the knee injury, I think he's going to maybe start a little slow. That offensive line, still I'm not convinced that they're going to be a major upgrade just yet, but by the end of the year, Joe Burrow will be a top 10 passer in this league.
Oh, wow. Big proclamation there. Okay, let's go to a little more or less and keep it on our man Joe Burrow. RC, more or less than 26 touchdown passes. I feel like it should be higher, but what do you think about that?
Listen, I like that they just keep giving me these alley-oops and I'm going to dunk it like Giannis. This is more. I mean, who threw the football more than Joe Burrow before he was injured last year? And that was his rookie year. And now you add Ja'Marr Chase to this mix. T. Higgins was huge last year as a rookie as well. Joe Burrow eclipses this, and I think he has a monster year coming back from injury.
Especially if he stays healthy. Rob, more or less than 29 touchdowns for Justin Herbert.
I'm going to go with more. Look, last year, I think that he surpassed and surprised a lot of people. So why not make another jump in your second year? I think we've all been, we've been saying more this whole show, but guess what? They have put rules in place to help the quarterbacks throw touchdown passes. So he's going to throw more.
Okay, you guys have been slamming our touchdown numbers all show. Now we're going to make it tough. RC, more or less than 24 touchdown passes for Tua?
See, here it's going to come. RC and the Alabama hate. But less. I think it's going to be less. Listen, I think Tua understands that he's going to have to come out and protect the football. He knows that he's going to have a top-level defense under Flores. And so in saying that and in knowing that, he's going to do the smart things with the football. He's going to take the check down. He's not going to force the ball into bad positions, but it's also going to keep him from creating explosive plays. Less for Tua Tagovailoa.
Okay, and Rob, we'll give you your toughest one. More or less than 21 touchdown passes for Jalen Hurts.
Ooh, I'm not going to have fans on this one. I'm going to say less. And I say that because, look, a lot of pressure is going to be on him to go out there and not only throw the ball well, but he's going to have to run the football too. And sometimes when you're a quarterback and you're in those positions, you can get beat up. So my reasoning for saying less is he might have a hard time playing all 17.
Yeah, not only that, we're talking about passing touchdowns. And you mentioned he's going to have to use his feet with that Eagles offense and what's going on there. Well, coming up, the NFL announced forfeit contingencies related to COVID, and stars are speaking out. How will this impact the locker room, and what's it going to be like in those locker rooms? We'll talk about that on Get Up.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
That headline, calling the shots. NFL makes it clear. If you're unvaxxed, players or staff cause a game to be canceled, you forfeit and no one gets paid. Now, unlike last year, a forfeit will be called this season if all of the following circumstances occur. A game is postponed by government authorities, medical experts, or the commissioner because of an outbreak. The league can't find a suitable date to reschedule and the game, and the original postponement was caused by an outbreak among unvaccinated players of one team. Now, Cardinals receiver DeAndre Hopkins had this to say about the NFL's new policy, in a sense, deleted tweet on social media. Never thought I would say this, but being put in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL. And Cowboys star Zeke Elliott was asked about the NFL's policy yesterday.
If unvaccinated players create an outbreak, a team could be forced to forfeit. And if that happens, players from both teams will miss their game checks that week.
You said game checks?
Yeah.
You just told me something new, but like I said, it's everyone's body. You got to respect that. You can't just, a check is only monetary, you know what I mean? So you can't put a price on someone's health or, you know, what they think will make them feel good or not make them feel good. So, that's, like I said, you're kind of walking the tight line.
Indeed. Let's bring our guys back in. RC, I want to start with you on this because when I hear this, The first thing I think is, I wonder what it's like in the locker room between guys who are vaccinated and guys who are not vaccinated. And if you were in a locker room, and I'm not asking you about whether you are or not, but I'm saying, what do you say to others knowing that a game check and a forfeit could be on the line?
Well, I think the first thing is the NFL is trying to appeal to, one, compassion, and two, greed. Right. You're trying to appeal to the compassion of people who don't feel like it's important enough to get this vaccine as it pertains to their family. Right. They don't think that this vaccine is worth it. They don't think that this vaccine is safe, or they don't think that this vaccine helps enough to say, you know what, I'm going to do it to protect those I love most. So they're definitely not going to do it to protect their teammates. So get that out of the way. So now you're appealing to greed. You're saying, whether it's the greed of the individual player, right, saying that if I'm not vaccinated and it causes this spread, right, that I won't get a game check, right, or the greed of the players around him to force him or guilt him into playing because they don't want to use a check. And in the end, the NFL is doing all of this to get the numbers up, right, for perception, the perception of player health and safety, which has always been the actual perception of player health and safety. We make the rules and we make these big changes, and you see all the flags and you see all the fines, and we put all these things out so you can see we care so much about player health and safety. But then you got all these dudes who play the game who are all messed up, who you don't help while they play, you don't help after they play. And so what they're trying to do is say, look, we put all these rules in place so we can have the healthiest game possible. So now from the outside, you don't hear the noise that the NFL doesn't care about their players. Now the NFL could say, we put the protocols in place. We tried to force them into get it. The players made this choice themselves. So don't come back at us because they made a decision.
Okay, Jeremy Fowler, I see you shaking your head. I know that the league and the NFLPA have agreed not to require guys to get vaccinated, but still, I wonder what the PA thinks about this kind of initiative, or at least how this goes down all around the league.
Well, the PA and the teams are on high alert here because they're very leery of discriminating based on who's vaccinated and who's not. I've talked to some coaches that feel like they're going to be in a compromising position because they're tempted to tell guys who are on the roster bubble, hey, look, this will help your standing probably if you get it done. But they know there's gray area attached to that. There is at least some good news league-wide. I was told from a source that half the league, so 16 of the 32 teams, have hit an 85% threshold on the vaccination rate. So they have 85% or higher in their building vaccinated. So the league believes this is trending in the right direction. By week one, most, if not all, the league will be set up and vaccinated well. And, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers opened camp yesterday. I was told there it wasn't like it was some big scene where you're getting your vaccination card shown at the door. Like, people wear masks and they're socially distanced and everything is good.
Yeah, it's interesting, by the way, that you bring up discrimination, because if I'm a lawyer, I'm an agent advising one of these players, they don't want to get vaccinated, and they're saying, what do I do here? You go in, you play, and I'm going to get your grievance ready if something happens. Because the bottom line is, as you mentioned, being leery about discrimination, that's the potential of what could happen here. And you could have players saying, hey, if something happens financially to us because of somebody else or because of a choice we made, therefore, we're going to file a grievance. We're going to try to make something happen, or maybe even try to take it to court. So, Rob, I ask you, I get the point of how you want everybody to do everything they can in the locker room. But if you're a vaccinated player on the field, you can't wear masks. You can't stay protected in that way if you're vaccinated and you're concerned. So what is it? How do you relate to people in the locker room? And how does that discussion go down for you?
Well, I think it just comes down to respecting someone's decisions. And, you know, last year, the NFL did a terrific job. They didn't miss any games. So going into this year, I know that they put in different protocols in place for guys that did have the vaccination and guys that have not. And, you know, really, honestly, I think everyone needs to do their best, as the best they possibly can, even if you are vaccinated, to make sure that you protect the other guys on your team, because you have to respect their decision. And at the end of the day, it is about respecting someone's choice. And we do have a choice. That's what this country's about, is having a choice.
Absolutely. All right, guys, thanks. We'll try to come back and maybe talk a little bit more about this, because I'll tell you, this is going to be a big topic as we approach the season. Now, we are the home for hockey, and once again, we're going to have the first round of this year's NHL draft tonight, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on ESPN2 and the app. One app, one tap. Well, coming up, what would be a successful season for America's team? The answers are all over the place, and we're going to tell you what we think and who holds the key next on Get Up.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.